WICN in Worcester, this is the Venture Forum, tales of entrepreneurship from central Massachusetts. I'm your host, Mark Reed Edwards, Executive Director of the Venture Forum. Now let's start today's tale. My guest today is Larry Genovese, a serial entrepreneur with more than 35 years' experience starting and running high-tech companies. Larry has been involved in startups in the networking, storage, high-performance computing, and big data analytics markets. His current focus is in areas like IoT, energy efficiency, and building management. We could have a whole show about those, I'm sure. He currently serves as CTO and VP of Engineering at Embu Inc. As one of Embu's co-founders, he's responsible for their strategic direction as well as product development. I'm talking to him today in his role as executive director and chairman of the board at WorkLab, a collaborative, diverse, and inspiring community where innovators can launch and grow their business. WorkLab is at 44 Portland Street in Worcester, a few floors above WICN, and you can learn more about them at worklab.org. That's worklab.org. Larry, it's great to have you on the Venture Forum.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Can you share your background and your entrepreneurial journey, how you got where you are today?
Sure. So seems like I've been an entrepreneur most of my life. I had my own business in high school, and when I came to WPI, I started another business, mostly because I wanted to eat. So something like needing income as a
sure.
as a good motivator for starting a business. My first job out of WPI was at Digital Equipment Corporation, which I learned a lot, but I also learned it's not what I wanted to do. So I joined a startup my second year out, and haven't looked back. I've started a number of companies. I've had some great successes. I've taken two companies public.
Yeah.
I've had some failures, which is where you learn most stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's been pretty exciting. I love the challenge. I love working with people who have a kind of a similar mindset, and it's been a great ride.
Yeah, and you mentioned you went to WPI, and you've stayed in the area. What makes Central Massachusetts special for you? Why do you call it home?
Well, it's sort of a business home. So, I mean, I grew up on the South Shore, and still live on the South Shore, but I spend a lot of time in Worcester, and Worcester's a pretty unique place. I have an interest in architecture, and I have minored in architecture at WPI, and so there's tremendous architecture, and there was a time when Worcester was the hub of Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Boston was just a backwater port, and a big chunk of the Industrial Revolution started in Worcester and in the Worcester area. So it just was always a fascinating place to me. And it's always been a pretty diverse place. So I've watched it go through a number of trial renaissances to try to reinvent itself. And, most of them didn't really work. But this last one especially has done really well. And they did a really smart thing. They basically said, we're going to create a living city, a place where people can live downtown, and then that drives, all the stores and restaurants and entertainment venues. So it's just an interesting place to look at its history and watch what it's gone through and how resilient it's been. And I think that from a practical business standpoint, my company, Embu, we run out of WorkLab in Worcester because we can get engineers. It's, trying to get an engineer in Cambridge or downtown Boston is impossible, and you're going to pay a lot of money. A lot of people come to the Worcester area because they want a better quality of life. They want to own a home. They want good school systems. And so we found it much easier to attract talent. So I think Worcester's got all that. It's a college city. There's a lot of entrepreneurial spirit. And you could definitely say that Worcester never gives up. They just keep trying, and they've done some amazing things in the last two or three years with the Woo Sox coming and sort of the renaissance downtown in terms of new building and new restaurants and stores. So it's just always been a fascinating place, and I've always been attracted to it.
Yeah, and Work Lab has a great view of Polar Park, doesn't it?
Yeah, I can't wait actually to see the first game there. So
yeah. So let's talk about Work Lab, which I had a chance to visit recently. It's just a terrific operation. Can you tell me about it and what the mission is?
Sure. So I got involved with Work Lab because a professor at John Orr, a professor at WPI named John Orr, asked me to go in and look at it because it was struggling. And it was originally started by WPI and Clark. And it spent years being a virtual incubator. And I'm not exactly sure what that meant, but for Work Lab, that meant that nothing pretty much was happening. But they finally hired somebody. They got some space. We're in the printer's building in downtown Worcester. And through the graciousness of Julian Wade, who runs the building, and his family, they helped us get into the building and gave us some great space to start and to grow the incubator. So when I started looking at it, I realized that we really needed to change. We were originally just focused on clean tech. Unfortunately, the clean tech market for a long time suffered because a lot of money was foolishly put into it early on without a lot of return. And even though it's a great space, that sort of hurt Work Lab for a while. But we've pivoted to be a more general purpose incubator and focusing on creating a space for entrepreneurs to start their companies. And that includes not only office space and conference rooms, but it also includes prototyping and manufacturing and lab space. So with colleges like WPI and engineers that are coming out of there who are now wanting to stay in the area, they're trying to start companies, but they need engineering resources. And that's one of the things we've been really focused on. We've also have been acting as consultants, in a sense, for these startups in terms of giving them business advice, being mentors, and things like that. And I think that that's making a huge difference. So Work Lab really is there for people who have an idea, who need some place to work on it, need access to resources and to the partnerships that we've formed with with companies in the industry, and to help them take an idea and turn it into a product.
Yeah. What kind of companies are resident at Work Lab? It seems like an amazing array from the tour that I had.
It is. So we've got everything from a woman who's got a great company making all natural and organic cosmetics, and she needed lab space, and she actually was a graduate of the Startup Worcester program that the Chamber runs. She's been there for 3 years, so that's amazing. We've got my company who's there, MBU, where we run our engineering facility out of there. We have engineers there and a large lab. People who have developed battery recycling technology, people who have started food companies. One of the companies that incubated here for some of the Worcester residents will know them as Woo Rides. So they were doing pedal carts and mm-hmm. other kind of ride services, and they've reinvented themselves two or three times doing different things. So it's really open to anybody, but we have a lot of focus on big data and IoT technologies, because there's so much of that happening now in Worcester. Actually, WPI is in the middle of building a very large, impressive facility for IoT development. So we've attracted a lot of those, with people who have been designing 3D printers. One gentleman's got a company where he's come up with a new type of 3D printing material that's pretty innovative. So it's really, almost anything you can think of, we've seen a business plan come through our door at one point or another.
You've got a big 3D printer, don't you? I mean, Mark showed me around back in December, and it's just an amazing little facility you have where these people are making things, which to me is like the essence of entrepreneurial life, is actually creating something new.
Yeah, we have a large 3D printer farm. We have laser cutting capability. we just added through a mass development grant, the capability to manufacture printed circuit boards. So you can actually buy the boards and the components, and we have automated machines that'll put solder paste down and put the components down and heat them and build them. So that's a major resource that we're bringing online now. And in fact, that was a request from some of the universities and from UMass Med that they wanted that capability, and the state graciously gave us a grant to do that. So, but the 3D printing has been a big thing for us. We have about a dozen printers. My company is an example, MBU. We print a lot of stuff. We have a lot of needs for cases and device enclosures where the volume isn't high enough to do an expensive injection mold, so we can 3D print them. We also, at the beginning of the pandemic, we were printing face shields. So we printed thousands of face shields for St. Vincent's, and that was a great example of, if you have a bunch of engineers sitting around with not a lot to do, they'll find something to do. And so when they heard about the need for face shields, they designed one and started printing them and making them. And Technicopia, who's also in our building, between the two of us, we've made thousands and thousands of face shields.
That's amazing. Stepping up when people needed it.
Yeah.
So what do you think makes WorkLab unique? There are lots of co-working spaces, but there's something different about WorkLab.
So a co-working space, which, you know, they're great. I mean, in fact, MBU started at WeWork in Boston. They're good if what you want is offices and conference rooms. Mm-hmm. And if you want really nice offices and really nice conference rooms and you want to pay a lot of money, they're great. And for many businesses, it's what they need. But we cater to people that need unique things. So if you need to assemble prototypes and do testing and 3D print and laser cut and do all those kinds of things and, you know, make cosmetics, you need a space that's flexible, that has, you know, things like good computer connections, a loading dock, a freight elevator, you know, those kinds of things that you typically used to have to go and, you know, lease space with those things. And for most startups, that's not practical. You can't afford to do that. So we have a lot of resources that any member can use, and they use them only when they need them. So even MBU, who uses a lot of stuff, we don't use hardly any of the total capacity. So lots of people can come in here and do what they need to do, and to test out their ideas and build their first generation products. So that really separates us from a co-working space, that we have lab facilities. There's another facility in Worcester called NBI, which is specifically set up for biotech, and they have very expensive equipment and wet labs that are necessary for doing bio research. We're more tailored towards the type of work that, where you have simple lab requirements, 3D printing, circuit board fabrication, having enough the resources for software development and things like that. So that's really our differentiator from a co-working space.
Yeah. We've got a few minutes left before we need to take a break, and I thought I'd like to learn a little bit about MBU and what the company does, what its origins were, and where it sees itself going.
So MBU is a pretty interesting company. We're using IoTs and artificial intelligence to help manage multifamily buildings, so apartment buildings. Mm-hmm. And we spend a lot of our time actually in the elderly services building. So we manage the entire building. So the envelope, the building itself, its energy systems, heating and cooling. And we also monitor for things like leaks and air quality and humidity levels. And so the basic value proposition is that we can tell you when something's going wrong with your building, and we can tell you how much energy you're consuming, and our systems can actually help you consume less energy. So as an example, one of our first installations we ever did in downtown Boston, that customer in the first 90 days saved $20,000 of electricity.
Wow.
by using our system. So we also have been spending a lot more time looking at indoor air quality. So as an example, very low relative humidity creates a pathway for viruses to get into the body.
Yep.
So when you have humidity levels that are really low, people get sick. We discovered in many of our seniors' buildings that the humidity levels down around 15% in the winter because of all the cold air coming in. Mm-hmm. That's about the same humidity level as the desert. So it's very unhealthy. So by being able to discover these things and point them out to the building owners and operators, they can take measures, generally fairly inexpensive measures, to solve those problems and create a better experience for their residents.
That's interesting. So at WorkLab, do you create the prototypes for the devices that the building owners or managers would use? What are the types of things that you're prototyping?
Yeah, so we create large systems. So when you were there, you maybe didn't notice it, but you'd see our thermostats all over the place. There's probably 50 of them. So we can actually create a simulation of a building. But all of our sensors, we design and build all of our sensors and other devices. So we prototype them there. We test them. We have large development environments for our engineers, even the ones who are remote, so they can build configurations and test them. And then we also use it as a staging area. So when we get a job, we bring all the material together, the thermostats and sensors and other devices, and we test them and package them and then can ship them to jobs for installation. So it's both a lab for us, an office space, and it's also sort of our final assembly and test facility. So that's a great example of where WorkLab really has helped us be able to grow much faster than if we had to lease that space, which would frankly would lie empty for most of the time. And that's the great thing, is that we can dynamically expand for 2 or 3 days and then shrink back. And that's really helpful in a startup.
Yeah, it's an interesting environment, right? Because you kind of have a real live environment to test the MBU stuff at WorkLab.
No, absolutely. It's a great old building. The Wade family has spent a tremendous amount of money restoring it. And it's a beautiful building. I mean, there's all kinds of interesting organizations in there. And you mentioned WICN, the Art Worcester is there, Technicopia, WorkLab. There's lots of really neat things going on. And it's really in the center of downtown, which is another great thing because, the companies that are there have access to all the new restaurants, shops, and all the new entertainment that's come into Worcester over the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's wonderful. All right, we're not done yet. We'll be back to continue our discussion in a moment. Back. Larry, is there something special that's happening in an environment like WorkLab with sometimes disparate entrepreneurs working in the same environment? People like from MBU rubbing shoulders with, people in life sciences and so forth. Is there something special going on?
Yeah, there's lots of different kinds of entrepreneurs. I mean, I'm sort of the old guy. I've been doing this a long time.
Join the club.
And I've had some great successes and I've made some big errors, but I've learned a lot. And so people will come to me and ask me questions about, what do you think about this or what do you think about that? So there's a natural level of kind of nurturing that goes on when you have lots of entrepreneurs in one place. The interesting thing is that entrepreneurs tend to be pretty brutal with each other about, when someone says, do you think this is a good idea? They generally won't pull a punch. They'll tell you what they think and offer their suggestions. So you got a naturally kind of creative environment in that regard. And Darwinism is alive and well in entrepreneurship. So, you know, either you evolve or you perish. So having lots of entrepreneurs around gives you the ability to, you know, garner a lot of opinions and then sort of synthesize what your path needs to be. It's also nice being with a lot of people that sort of understand what you're going through. And quite frankly, sometimes we'll just throw your hands up in frustration. We'll go, well, wait a minute, have you thought about this? Or have you talked to this person? Or, you know, and I think that that's a great thing. And, you know, the other kind of thing we try to do is to pull together outside resources to help in that regard, like the Venture Forum and the Startup Booster Program of the Chamber. So you take all that stuff and mix it together. It's a healthy place for ideas to incubate and companies to formulate, or for ideas to rapidly die. So you basically, an idea comes up and you work on it. It's not good. Then if you're a good entrepreneur, you kill it off and you go and you look for a new idea and you go through that same process. So having an environment where that can happen rapidly is very important to successful entrepreneurship.
And it provides kind of a community for them, right?
It really is a community. I mean, it's, you know, many of the people who were there, this is their night job. And so they're working hard all day and they're coming at night and they're working on their idea and trying to move forward, and you watch it all happen. And, you know, there's a lot of late nights and cold pizza involved, but it's, you know, none of these people would rather be anywhere else.
Yeah. Do you find that you learn things from young entrepreneurs?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the reasons that I've stayed engaged with WPI is Work Lab is because I get to be with a lot of young entrepreneurs. And that energy is great. I mean, you know, as you've had to go through your career, you become somewhat jaded because of all the things you've seen. But I think that for me, I'm constantly seeing new ideas, you know, people asking questions, people challenging my beliefs, challenging each other's beliefs. You can't get a better environment for being creative. And it just makes me feel younger.
Yeah. And it's great to learn new things as often, if not every day, right?
Right. And I've seen, you know, I've looked at some ideas come through and I've said to myself, I don't think this makes much sense. And then they prove me wrong. So that's great. And I think that's wonderful. I mean, you know, there's lots of stuff that is outside your experience set. And so it sort of teaches you not to be too judgmental. That just because you don't get it doesn't mean there aren't a bunch of people who are going to, you know, they're going to get it. So I think that's great.
Yeah, so let's think about the future, but start with the past. The past year has been a challenge all around. And as we begin to emerge from the pandemic this year, knock on wood, and you look out the back of Work Lab and see the Woo Sox playing in Polar Park, what is your vision for Work Lab, and how does it play into a larger vision for Worcester, especially the area in which you're located?
Well, I think that one of the things that's sort of come out of the pandemic is that people have begun to realize the value of a community, right? That, you know, instead of whisking off in a jet and going on vacation, they're staying at home and being, you know, closer to their neighbors and looking at what's going on locally that they can do. And so I think that as a byproduct of that, and the ongoing renaissance in Worcester, you're going to see so much more activity in downtown. And what you want to be able to do is attract businesses. And these technology startups build cities. I remember Cambridge in the 70s and 80s, you wouldn't stop when you were driving through there. The Kendall Square was terrible. Now, that's $100 a square foot property there. And that is all because of entrepreneurship. And I think Worcester has had the foresight to nurture that. And it will okay and major dividends for the city because people will come here to start businesses, they'll discover it, they'll like it, they'll stay, and the community will grow. So I think that we see ourselves as a facilitator. So if we can help companies come here and grow, then Worcester benefits from that. And this renaissance, I think, is different because it's got people living in downtown. It's got things like the Woosocks, and it's got a lot of very creative people creating a lot of interesting venues downtown. When I was at WPI, the first thing you did after you graduated was pack your stuff up and leave.
Right.
Now, I see many, many more of the people who are graduating from the universities in Worcester and all the colleges is that they're staying here because they like what they see. And Worcester really is becoming a college town now. People are staying after graduating. People are retiring here, and I think you'll see much more of that. And entrepreneurship will accelerate that whole process.
Yeah, and it's about building the richness of the community. You can, you know, just right. having a job to go to and a place to live isn't enough. You need a culture, and you need, you know, a baseball team across the way. You need these things to kind of build up the community.
Yeah, I mean, I look around Work Lab at the diversity we have in terms of people's backgrounds, and it's really exciting because it gets you to think, right? It gets you to challenge your long-held beliefs, but it makes it really interesting. I think about the little restaurants that have opened all around downtown Worcester, and I mean, it's you can just about anything you can think of, you can find a restaurant to go and try it out, and you meet some great people. There's a little Japanese place around the corner from Work Lab that I go to all the time. I go there mostly, I mean, the food's great, but I go there because it's a little family-run business, and I find them fascinating as a group of people, their culture and how they run their business and their attention to detail, and that's a great place to live.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, Larry, this has been a great discussion. I really appreciate you joining me.
Well, thanks for having me, Mark. I'm really excited to be on your show and to continue to work and getting Worcester to where it wants to go. I think it'll be great.
Thanks so much. I'm Mark Reed Edwards. We'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Venture Forum from WICN in Worcester. Learn more at theventureforum.org and join us next week as we share tales of entrepreneurship from Central Massachusetts.